Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
We are at the last part of our series on what comes first. In part one, we spoke about how loving God is the most important thing. Loving Him back because He loved us first. Amen. In fact, all of creation was made for you and I. You know, God created the earth for us. He gave us dominion on this earth. He created it for us. Unfortunately, man has a tendency to mess things up occasionally. And so it put us in a compromised situation, but God sent His Son Jesus to restore us. Can you say amen? Now we have access again to the kingdom of God. We have access to the presence of the Lord. We have access to God Almighty. Isn't that amazing? So our walk with God can go far beyond platonic and can actually be one of true meaning and intimacy. And in fact, that's the way that God desires to walk with every one of us. Then in part two, we spoke about, what did we speak about in part two? Let me see who's awake. Oh my word, it's so quiet. We spoke about the Word of God. You guys are all fired. Okay, we spoke about God's Word first, how we obey His Word. We follow His Word, and that's what leads everything in our lives to begin to go right, right? It's our roadmap. It's our GPS. The Word of God is what will instruct us and lead us and guide us. Then last week, we spoke about giving to God first, how giving to Him is important and putting Him first in the realm of our finances is something that He desires. In fact, we see clearly from Scripture that when we obey this command, we see God bless us in a powerful way. Now, that should never be our motivation to give because of the blessing, because the truth is when Abraham gave and when Jacob gave, there was no other need except they'd made a decision to give to God first, especially Abraham. In fact, that step of faith that he made by giving God a tenth right in the beginning when there was no obligation was something that caused an incredible promise to fall upon him. Right. So this morning, we're going to go into the next part, the final part of our series, which is seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that we need to seek first. And this is an instruction that Jesus himself gave us. And when we look at this passage of text that we're going to break down in just a second, we will see that this passage of text, Jesus gives us a look into our own lives and some of the things that every one of us needs or seeks after in some way, because it's just normal for us to do that. So I need to lay a foundation by going back to verse number 19. We're going to Matthew 6. Verse number 19, the primary verse that I'm going to be preaching on is verse 33, but we'll start in 19 because you need to understand the context of the text to get the full meaning of what Jesus is saying. So, he starts by saying this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And it's very interesting because, you know, the Bible speaks to us here and it speaks to us about our treasure. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be also. So the question is, what's the most important thing to you? What is the most important thing to you? And if you place that as the priority in your life, what will happen is if you place God as the priority of your life, you will be filled with light. If you place Him, if you place His Word, if you place His love, if you place His kingdom first in your life, you will be filled with light. Now, if you don't do that and you carry on living life by not obeying or following what God says is most important, there can be darkness in you. And the Bible actually says that that darkness, you need to ask yourself about that darkness because that darkness can be a great darkness. Are you with me? Then he goes on and he says this, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Immediately he goes into money here, but I want to say something to you real quick, and this is just a short little rabbit run just to kind of help you with this. How many of you know that money is not a God? It cannot be a God because it is not alive. Okay? The Bible says that it's the love of money that is the root of evil. It's not money, it's the love. Are you with me? Because you must understand, how many of you think that, or let me rather put it to you this way. You see, it's not, money cannot be a God unless you begin to love it. So if you begin to love anything more than God, it becomes an idol or a God in your life. If you love the boat more than God, you're in trouble. If you love the car more than God, you're in trouble. If you love the house or the business or anything else above God, it becomes a God. Why? Because you begin to love it, and that's what empowers that thing in your life. Are you with me? Okay. It doesn't say that money is evil or money is bad. It speaks about what happens when you begin to love it, and then it becomes an idol. Then he goes on in verse 25, and he says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Then what? Now watch this. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." And here comes the primary verse. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things? What things will be added unto us if we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, he kind of says it two times. He says there, first of all, he wants you to get your priorities straight, understanding that God has to be first, because if God isn't first, that means you have other idols in your life that are placed above him and you're already in trouble. Then he goes on at the end and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything that you need will be added unto you. Things like food, things like clothing. These are the things that we need. How many of you need to know the solution in your marriage to making your marriage better? How many of you need to know the solution to fixing your relationship with your children? How many of you here need to know the answers to being successfully financially? How many of us need to know what is the solution in life to being successful in just anything that we do? Well, the Bible says that in order for us to have those things, we have to first do what God wants us to do, and that is to seek first the kingdom. Then what happens is when we do that, when we seek the kingdom first, then those things will be added unto us. Unfortunately, the way that most of us are programmed is we first want to seek after the clothing. We want to seek after the food. And that's kind of like just natural, right? Because all of us want to be successful. We all want to do well. But the truth is this, is that if we seek first the kingdom, if we seek God first, if we place him first, then the things that we need, he will give us. Why? Because he knows we need them. Are you with me? We can all agree on that, right? Most people desire a better life. Most people desire a better marriage. Most people desire a better relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing is that they go to all kinds of things in the world. For example, 5 steps to a better marriage. Google, tuk, press the button, and there it comes. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And now if we do that, we think the solution's going to be met. Listen, there's only one solution for a better marriage. What does God say about a better marriage? What does God say about treating your husband? What does God say about treating your wife? What does God say about your responsibility and your role as a husband and a wife? You do those things and watch how everything will change in your marriage. I should get a better amen than that. Well, you don't know my husband, Pastor Alex. Well, you don't clearly know my God. Because listen, he can change anybody, even your husband. And guess what? While he's changing your husband, he's going to do a little bit of changing in you too. Amen. So the thing is that our focus needs to shift from wanting and desiring the things. So this is what man tends to do. Man tends to do this. Oh God, I've come to you because I need this and I need this. Or I need better. I need breakthrough in my finances. Listen, the Bible doesn't say that you should ask. He actually says he already knows what you're going to ask. He knows what you need. So what must you do? Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if you've been in Oceans for a while, I teach on the kingdom a lot. So by now, you should really know what the kingdom is. And we're going to talk a little bit about it for those of you that haven't been here for a long time. So I have a lot of teachings on the kingdom. I recommend you go listen to them because I can't just teach it all over again. But what I do want to say is this. Why is it that even those of us that have got teachings on the kingdom still seem to be like, what is the kingdom? Have you ever thought about that? Like, what is the kingdom? Well, there's a few scriptures in the Bible that clearly tell us what the kingdom of God is. Amen. I just want to warn you, I don't do well with people that fall asleep. Amen. And I will find you. And I will pour water down your open mouth. Amen. Now they're going, now people are, oh, how can the pastor say that? Listen, I didn't curse or anything like that, man. I just said I'll pour water down their throat. Just wake them up. They look thirsty, you know? You know what I mean? Okay. All right. Listen, I can handle it if you're like over 70, but when you're like 16, I have a real big problem with it. Is that okay? All right. So let's take a look at a few scriptures that speak about what the kingdom is. Romans 14, verse 17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. And look at this, in the Holy Spirit. So it's very important that we take note. He's again saying something because he knows what our basic needs are, eating and drinking. We need to eat, we need to drink, we need to live. But the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. Listen, that's just a product of when you seek the kingdom, you'll have those things. But the truth is, what it is it's righteousness and peace and joy. But it goes beyond just righteousness, peace, and joy. It's in the Holy Spirit. And that's very important because when Jesus came to earth, he preached the message of the gospel of the kingdom, and he would say something like this. He would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What did that mean? That means that Jesus was there. And when he was there, he was near you. You could actually reach out and touch him because he was the kingdom. He brought the kingdom, and I'll prove that to you in just a minute. He was full of heaven. How many of you know that when Jesus came on earth, heaven was with him? He demonstrated the power and the kingdom of God here on earth. And I'll show it to you in just a minute that that was the message that he would preach. He would come and preach the message of the gospel of the kingdom. When the kingdom of God is manifest in your life, something changes. You become righteous. You begin to have peace. You begin to have joy. You begin to experience love. You begin to experience qualities that are not of this world. That's why Jesus said, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave you," not as the world gives it, because this is a peace that can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's why it's critical that we know the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's here. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father. He's not here now. Yes, Christ in us, the hope of glory, but it's the Holy Spirit with Christ, Christos, the anointing of God, his Spirit inside you. Where's the Holy Spirit now? Where is he? He's inside you. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not over there. It's not over there. It's inside you. And he was speaking about what was to come when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on you and I. So the kingdom of God was in Jesus. When the Bible says the kingdom of God has come near to you, now the kingdom of God is within you. Which means that the qualities and the qualities of the kingdom are now available to you to work in you and to work through you. But the Bible says that you have to seek them. You have to go after it. You have to be hungry and thirsty for it. You have to desire the kingdom over all the other stuff, because the other stuff comes second. And the other stuff will actually be a result of you seeking the kingdom. Are you with me? All right. Are you guys okay this morning in Vero Beach? So we know that the kingdom of God will produce a change in your life. It will bring peace. It will be joy. It will bring righteousness. It actually causes you to begin to know that you are in Christ, that you have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that your righteousness is like filthy rags, but it causes you to be hungry for God. Therefore, your desire is to please Him, is to honor Him, is to obey Him, and so you seek after His righteousness. Are you with me, guys? Okay. What else is the kingdom? 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 20. Remember, the kingdom works on the inside of you. But 1 Corinthians 4, 20 says this. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Everybody say power. So the kingdom of God is not in what we say. The kingdom of God is what we produce. When you're a Christian and the kingdom is in you, something begins to happen on the inside of you, but then something will begin to manifest on the outside of you. Jesus walked, and when he was on earth, he brought the kingdom. His message was actually one that was kind of confusing to many. How many of you know that's true? And I'll share that with you in just a moment. The majority of the messages that Jesus taught were messages that came in parables. And most of the people didn't understand those parables. But yet they came in the thousands and the thousands. Why did they come? They came because they knew there was something different about this man. That when he spoke, there was power. When he prayed, there was power. When he laid hands on the sick, there was power. How many of you know that you as a believer carry that kingdom inside you? Listen, I'm not making that up. That's what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is within you. So Jesus carried the kingdom. It wasn't in us, but it was near us. It was with us. It was Him. He went up to heaven after He died and rose from the grave and sent His Spirit so that the kingdom could come, so that the Holy Spirit could come and make His place in you. What would begin to happen was He would begin to change you. He would begin to transform you. You begin to seek Him. You begin to hunger and thirst for more of Him. As you begin to do this, as you begin to pursue Him with all of your heart, as you begin to place Him first, what begins to happen is not only does He change you, but He comes upon you and empowers you. And then the qualities of the kingdom, the same thing that we see in the life of Jesus, will happen in your life. Did Jesus not say the same works that I do, you will do also? Now, let's go to Mark 1, verse number 12. Mark 1, verse number 12. I want to show you the ministry of Jesus and show you what His primary message was. And give you a look at what it must have been like for Him. I think oftentimes we read the Bible and we miss over so many small details that are actually so important for us to take note of. Mark 1, verse number 12. Immediately the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness. This is after Jesus is baptized. And He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to Him. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, watch this now, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What does that look like? Let's read a little bit further down to Mark 3, verse number 12. What does it look like when Jesus would begin to preach? He would preach the qualities, He would teach about the kingdom, and He would teach in parables, and then He would do something. Let's look. So verse number 3 of Mark chapter number 3. Mark 3, verse number 9. So He told His disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for Him because of the multitude. Everybody say multitude. Lest they should, look at this, crush Him. Can you imagine how many people are watching Jesus? How many people have been attracted? There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no email, there was no broadcast, there was nothing. People just began to hear about what Jesus did and think about how long his ministry was. His whole ministry was 3 years long, maybe 3.5 years. And I want you to just imagine this, because this is right in the beginning of his ministry. And suddenly there are thousands of people that are hearing about this. Why? Because when the kingdom is in you and the kingdom is being manifest, it draws people. Why? Because that's when you see true change. That's when you see true transformation. That's why you have to go after the kingdom. That's why Jesus said it must be your desire. I must be your desire. You must seek after me. You must hunger and thirst for me. You must hunger and thirst for righteousness, and then you will be filled. Mark 3, verse number 9. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him. Listen to this. There were so many people that were sick that they were actually pressing against his body, touching him. And the unclean spirits, listen to this. The unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Now, I want you to just picture this. Can you imagine this? While they're in the service, they're outside in the service, they're busy having these open-air crusades there, and Jesus is ministering and stuff, and people are coming, and the people would fall down, and it's not the people, it's the demons. It doesn't say the people cried out, it says the demons cried out. You are the Son of God, because they recognized who he was. They knew who he was because they knew that no one can have that kind of power. No one can be like that. No one can operate like that. No one can speak with true love like that. No one can say things that come out of his mouth like that. No one can carry such an anointing on their life that it brings such transformation and it brings such change and it brings such healing and it brings such deliverance. So they knew that this was the Son of God. Let's go to Mark 4, verse number 1. Watch this now. Now we're at the main text for today. So I said all of that to say this. Or as the Bible always says, whenever you see therefore, it means I've said all of this to say that. So therefore, Mark 4, verse number 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So again now, I want you to see it. He's got this big group, and he once again gets in the boat because there's just too many people. So that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Now he's about to share a story. Watch this. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprung up instead and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Jesus, what on earth did you just say? Now, you must understand, you guys, many of you have been in church for many years. So you're like, "Oh, I got this." He's talking about the swill, and the swill is the heart. And the way that your heart is, and if you have a hard heart, if you have a thorny heart, then these are the conditions of what will take place when the Word of God comes to you. And you are right. But for those people in that crowd that had never heard teaching like this before, they were looking at this and going, "Well, what is he talking about? I don't quite get it." So at the end of it all, Jesus says to them, "You who have an ear to hear, let him hear." I'm sure there were some people that probably had some idea. Maybe some of the scribes and the Pharisees, some of the teachers of the law, perhaps they knew. They could understand some of what he was saying. I don't know. But the truth is, we can clearly see And it would be like me coming and sharing a parable about the chicken at my house. You would have no idea what I'm talking about. So I want you to understand that the majority of the people that were listening to these teachings probably didn't really grasp it. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Are you going to live your Christian walk being the multitude? Because just like those people, we go to services wanting to hear about God, wanting to learn something, wanting to get something out of it. Sometimes we apply it a little bit, but most of us, by Wednesday, it's gone. Sometimes we come for a healing, for a miracle, for a sign, for a wonder, whatever it is. We come to encounter the Lord in some way, but the majority of the time, by Wednesday, it's gone. But you see, there are a certain group of people where there's something different. There's something different about them. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's read on. Mark 4, verse number 9. And he said to them, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Now watch. "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable." This is so powerful to me because Jesus is now finished speaking and the crowds have left and the disciples go to Jesus and they go to him and say, "Master, what did the parable mean?" In other words, "Jesus, I want to know more. I need to have understanding. I need to know what your word says." Listen, there was a character in the Old Testament. His name was Daniel. And Daniel was determined to hear God's voice. Daniel was determined to be someone that would stand in the gap for the whole of his nation. And he would pray and he'd repent for the sins of that nation and he would seek God. And one of the things that Daniel desired greatly was to know the secrets, was to know the mysteries that were in the Bible. He wanted to know, what is it, God, that is written? What is it that Jeremiah prophesied? What is it that Isaiah prophesied? I want to know what their prophecies mean. And he would seek the Lord. And then what happens is the Bible says, I'll read it to you. I don't even need to read it to you. But basically what it says is that eventually an angel arrives to Daniel and gives him a secret. Why? Why did Daniel get a secret? He got a secret because he was seeking God. He chose not to bow down to the idols. He chose not to bow down to the king. He chose to go on the 21-day Daniel fast. For those of you that are on it, you're in good shape. Just kidding. Just kidding. Let's go back to our story. "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you," oh, this is so good, "to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables.'" In other words, listen, if you don't seek first the kingdom, if you don't go after Jesus more than the others, you will always be someone in the crowd. You will never be affected. You will never be changed. You will never be transformed. You can be one of those that comes to church and does all the right stuff, but really your life, there's nothing has transformed. Nothing has changed. There's no evidence that the kingdom has taken place. But you must understand that the 12 that were around Jesus, they had a privilege. They had a privilege because they could be with him. They could go to him. I want to tell you, new covenant Christians that are in this place today, the Holy Spirit abides on the inside of you. He's the teacher. He's the leader. He's the one who guides you into all truth. I want to tell you this morning, New Testament Church, that the voice of God lives on the inside of you. And if you open your Bible and you put your heart to seek him, he will begin to show you things. He will begin to open up scripture to you. He will begin to open your eyes that you will begin to see things that you have never seen before. But you have to be one of those that gets close to him. You have to be one of those that hungers and thirsts for him, that desires him, that puts him first the kingdom. I seek you, God, first. I put you, God, first. Listen, I might not like it. It might not be comfortable for me. But if your word says this is how it is, I'm going to obey. If your word says, listen, it doesn't matter how I feel about that woman. If the word says that I must be married to one wife, then guess what? That's the way it is. I don't care how a person feels. Doesn't matter how you feel. Your feelings will deceive you. The heart is the most wicked thing in a person. Oh, but you don't know how I feel, Pastor Alex. I don't care how you feel. Do what he says. Oh, but you know, I need a blessing. I need my business to prosper. Okay, listen. What does God say? Because this is the area that needs some attention. Maybe listen to God and you will see he will bless you. Now watch this. I'm almost done. Maybe. By the way, in verse number 11, that word mystery means secrets. The same way that Daniel sought the Lord and he revealed secrets to him, the same way that you who seek God, he will reveal secrets to you. He will open up mysteries. I promise you, you will read the Bible and see things you have never seen before. Let me tell you something. This morning, God taught me a very valuable lesson. I always tease my wife because she has this thing where she goes and opens the Bible and then it's like God speaking to her now or something, or she looks for something. And I've always mocked her and said, that doesn't work. Like, I don't believe in that, you know. Okay, it sounds like all of you believe in it. Okay, so anyway, so I'm like, you know, this is not going to work. This is not for me. So this morning I'm praying in my room, and you know how I am. I walk, and I'm praying back and forth in my study, and I'm interceding for the service, and I'm praying, and suddenly my attention is drawn to a book on the shelf, a book by a minister that I know. And I'm looking at the book, but I'm thinking, oh, no, it's just my imagination. I carry on walking, and I'm praying and seeking God and, you know, asking the Lord to move this morning and just speaking about my message to him. And I look up, and the book again is drawing me. Now, and I want you to understand something. I didn't hear, Alex, that book on the shelf, child, you must taketh that booketh. No. That's not how the Holy Spirit works most of the time. Look, he ministers through and to everybody differently. But to me, I just get this feeling that I need to do something. And so I'm looking at this and I'm feeling it. But you must remember, and I'll teach you this in the Holy Spirit Fire Conference. It doesn't come from here, it comes from here. When he speaks, it doesn't come from here. You have to learn to discern when it's from here or when it's from here. So I see the book. I grab the book and I break the golden rule. I just randomly open the book. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you doing this? And then I see the topic at the top of the page, and it's exactly what I've been speaking to God about. And he speaks to me in one sentence, exactly what I needed to hear. And I read through and I looked at it and I thought, you know, but I don't even believe this. And then at the top of the page, it said January 26th, which is today's date. Now, you may think, that's just by coincidence. And that's fine with me. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no way that that could just happen like that. So he will speak to you if you seek him. Now, let me tell you something. This morning, I was very distracted and I was struggling to get into my prayer room. I almost didn't go. Imagine what would have happened. I wouldn't have gotten that word. And let me tell you, I needed that word this morning. I needed it. And when did I get it? When I went into my closet and began to seek him. Put him first, guys. Put him first. I'm almost done. I'm really almost done. Okay. Two more scriptures. I've got a lot more scriptures, but I'm just going to give you two. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9 says this. This is King David speaking to his son, Solomon. As for you, my son, Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him, look at this, with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. In other words, follow him with your heart and follow him with your mind. The Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. In other words, you can't hide anything from him, son. He will know every thought, every intent, every plan that you have. He will know it. So let me give you some advice, son. Watch what he says. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. The point that I want you to see, the part I want you to see is where he says to him, son, listen, God knows everything about you. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going to do. He knows what your plans are. So even if you make it look like you're trying to please him, but really you're trying to please yourself, he knows. So let me give you some advice, son. Seek him first, above everything, and then everything you need will be taken care of. There's an incredible story in the Bible about 10 lepers. These 10 lepers are so desperate for a miracle because they have leprosy. And Jesus arrives on the scene, and it's a very short story in the Bible, and basically he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest because they'll be cleansed. And so they get healed, all 10 of them. And they go to seek their healing. And when they come back from the healing, something incredible happens. Let me read it to you. Luke 17, verse 15. Now remember, 10 lepers went away and were healed. But in verse 15, it says this, and one of them, everybody say one of them. I want you to see, church, only one came back. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now take a look at the word there, cleansed. But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. And look at what he says. Your faith has made you well. Now the words are important because cleansed and made well are two different words in the Greek. Cleansed literally means they were cleansed. They were like healed. But the word made well there is a different word. It's the Greek word sozo. And the Greek word sozo means to be saved, means to be delivered, means to be healed. In other words, those other 9 guys got their miracle for the day, went to church that day, had their encounter that day, but like so many of us, never returned to seek and give glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there was one. Everybody say there was one. Say that one is me. Say it with meaning. Say it with purpose. Say it, guys. Say that one is me. Are you that one? Are you going to be that one that's going to go back to Jesus? Are you going to be that one that's going to seek first the kingdom of God? Are you going to be that one? And what you need to understand is he was the one who received true healing. He was the one who received true deliverance. Why? Because he went back to the master. He went back to the king. What did he do? He put the kingdom first. You see, the others got their miracle and went about doing their business. But this one recognized that this was not the work of a man. This one recognized that the goodness of God, he had encountered it, and he had to go back to it. He had to go seek more of it. He was like the disciples who said, Lord, explain to me more. I need more from you. I want to encounter you more. I want to be near you more. That's how we have to be. We have to seek him. We have to seek him first, and then everything else will be taken care of. Let's give the Lord a big clap and a shout. Come on. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Come on, let's lift our voices. Come on, let's lift our voices. Who's going to be that one this morning? Who's going to be that one this morning that's going to say, Lord, I seek the kingdom first. All the other stuff, you know I need it. But that's not my motivation. I know that you are the true healer. I know that you are the true deliverer. I know that you are the King of Kings. Jesus, you took me out of my Egypt. I'm no longer in the world. I am now saved and redeemed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. My name is written in the book of life. I've got reason to shout this morning. I've got reason to give him praise this morning. I've got reason to glorify him this morning. And I'm going to come back for more. And I'm going to come back for more. And I'm going to seek you more. And I'm going to hunger and thirst more. And nothing's going to stop me. In the name that is above every name. Let's give him one more shout and one more clap. Hallelujah. 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 Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we honor you this morning. You are so good and you are so faithful. And Lord, when I preach your word, it's just so powerful, Lord. Your word is so powerful. When I read it, it changes me, Father. If I receive it as your word, if I receive your word that it comes from your throne, it has power in my life. And Father, I pray desperately for your people this morning in this place. For we need so many things, Lord. But if only we would seek first the kingdom. If we would only seek you, Father, with all of our hearts. Has this not been your desire from the beginning to have a people that would love you back because you loved us first? And so I thank you right now for every soul that's in this place. If you've come here this morning, no eyes open, could you all keep your heads bowed for just a moment? If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to make my life right with God this morning. I've never given my heart to him, or I need to make it right with him. If that's you, just slip your hand up real quick. God bless you. Thank you, young man. God bless you over there. Thank you so much. Anybody else say, include me in this prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up everywhere. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I can't see all the hands because some of you are standing and some of you are sitting. God bless you in the back. God bless you, man. Thank you. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Thank you, young man. God bless you. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Now, if I can ask you to be bold, church. Those of you that raised your hands, can you come to the front real quick for me, please? I just want to pray for you quickly. I want to bless you. Don't be afraid. Let's give them a hand, guys. Come to the front. Come running to Jesus this morning. Take that first step. Seek the kingdom first this morning. God bless you. God bless you, guys. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for having the courage to come forward. There's a lot of you that haven't come forward. That's okay. Just raise your hands, church. Raise your hands to them. And those of you that lifted your hands that have not come forward, just pray this prayer with me. In fact, church, can we all pray this prayer this morning? Let's say, Father, I come to you today. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. I put you first. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He is the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Strengthen me. Make me whole. And fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.